You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by the Laurel and Hardy of Record Sport, the McManus and Caldwell, if you will, Michael Gannon and Graham Young. How are you both?
Is it a Phil and Holly? But we can't talk about that anymore, can we?
I thought I'd give you a...
Thanks, hi, Holly.
How are you both? Good?
Good, mate.
All right, I think it was a bit thawed out after I've been at Parkhead last night in the cold. It was a chilly one last night, but nice and warmed up now for you boys.
Plenty of goals though, and we'll come to that in just a minute. I thought it was maybe worth just mentioning at the start of the pod. We've not had one since the previous game at St Johnstone, and Graham, obviously, Brendan Rodgers during that game, or after it rather, said it was the angriest he's ever been in his managerial career. It was a brilliant second half from Celtic, but the first half was pretty poor.
Yeah, I think it was a culmination, wasn't it? That's the kind of feeling after it, that the first half was dreadful, but maybe it just wasn't that first half. It's a couple of things building for a few weeks and maybe tying into the transfers. So obviously, Rodgers said he was looking for four quality players, and on a half when Yang, who I hope the footage is now deleted, where I was previously effusive and praise of him. He had a really tough day, so I think it was a combination of everything. I think Celtic needed, just in the purest sense, a jolt anyway. They were that poor the first half against St Johnstone, that extreme measures to just get something out of that particular game was needed. Obviously, worked a trick. They were much better second half. And then that carried on to last night, but I think there's multiple factors, I think, with Rodgers. I know he said it was the pace and the tempo, but I think when you add up all the things that have kind of happened the first half of the season, between injuries, maybe signs that didn't come that he wanted, and then if they're not following out his instructions, I think that kind of rocket was always due. And it's obviously started to reap rewards straight away.
Graham makes a good point in the sense that, do you think that was almost a half that Celtic needed? If you know what I mean, because, you know, staring down the barrel of dropping more points, it was a wake-up call, really.
Yeah. But listen, there's been a few moments this season that they've been a bit like that. I know he said it was the angriest it's ever been, but even at half-time. But I'm pretty sure getting beat 5-0 against Stoke when he's a Liverpool manager at half-time, he'd been quite angry. I'm fairly sure that would have been an afternoon at half time. You might have some words to say. But listen, you know, managers, he wants a reaction, and he got a reaction. So the jolt worked. I don't think he was kicking over tactics boards or throwing teacups or that kind of stuff, but he definitely wasn't happy. And listen, there's been signs of some frustration kind of setting in the last few weeks with him. I think you've got to caveat it. Listen, he's missing some big players at the moment through injury. Hatate, Maeda, Abada. Obviously, Jota was sold. We know we've touched on the summer window being not very good. So there is a bit of frustration from him. He wants more. He said before he wanted more of these guys that are coming in to make a bigger impact. He's not really getting a lot from some of them. So maybe his patience just cracked a wee bit, and he thought that he's used the carrot and it's time for the big stick. The good thing was he did get a reaction when they came out the second half, all guns blazing, scored some good goals, and it rolled into the game against Hibs midweek, where they were pretty comfortable as well. So yeah, I don't think managers reach for that kind of mode of motivation very often. So when they do, you know it's serious. And it seems to have a dead effect. But we'll see. It's a busy period this now as well, and it needs all hands to the pump. So the momentum has to keep going, really. That's what we'll find out in the next few weeks if it has worked properly.
The Hibs game was a kind of refreshing change to recent Celtic form, in the sense that Celtic have started a little bit in recent weeks. I was, you know, a bit apprehensive in the sense that Hibs, they'd only lost 1-11 going into the game. But Graham, Celtic came out the blocks flying, and they were brilliant in that first half. Brilliant all night, but the way they came out was good.
It shades of Aberdeen first half, or just the performance, really. Like, they've just, Celtic, the one thing amid criticism, they've been quite good at that, like low block, and teams, the games have won convincingly. They just managed to just break through quite well, and it was a kind of set players, wasn't it, last night with Palmer, Riley, the guys who normally make the difference, doing it again. And I thought there was plenty to like. I just thought they were quite efficient as well. Hibs, Nick Montgomery would tell you Hibs had plenty of the game. It wasn't the match that I watched personally, but I think the Riley goal's perfect. That just, it was a half counter attack, Palmer. That's where Palmer's really good, isn't he? Like, he's not the paciest, but he knows how to isolate a defender. Good ball in the Riley 2-0. But there was plenty of that last night. Good passages of play. I know Rodgers with Mikey Johnson kind of was quite firm with the words after the game. But I thought, to be fair to Mikey Johnson, in my opinion, I thought he did a half decent job of keeping it wide, if that makes sense. I know Yang does that as well. But I think Mikey Johnson was summed up perfect last night, in the sense, on a half pitch at St Johnstone, when they came in, he can come on and do nice bits. But I think the pure athleticism needed to be a Celtic winger, I think that's the hardest bit for him, getting up and down the pitch. Those 50-50 shoulder challenges, maybe coming up short. He's very quick to appeal for fouls. I think that's quite against Celtic nature. And I know wingers will always appeal, but he often appeals for the ones you know you're not going to get. It almost gives the other team a wee, galvanises them. I think he's just overall, Neil Lennon touched on it the other day, the mental side, the frustration. I think Rodgers obviously keenly felt that, but it was out with maybe moments like that. It was a pretty comprehensive performance, irrespective of what the Hibs manager says.
What, Mick, how do you see the Mikey Johnson stuff? I mean, I thought he was great against St Johnstone, but as Graham says, a wee bit underwhelming against Hibs.
I thought he was all right. I don't think he's that bad. I mean, I actually watched him for the first half an hour, and he was kind of chasing back and trying to shut down any kind of building from the back that Hibs were trying. I've got to say, a side note, I chuckled when Brendan Rodgers kind of paid tribute to the way that Hibs played Nick Montgomery. I said, no wonder, because they absolutely played right into Celtic's hands. Having had a game plan to play against Celtic with a low block, I mean, they still went 4-4-2 and they sat really deep at Easter Road and really contained Celtic and made it really awkward for them. They kind of went back to kind of trying to play an expansive kind of game and wide open middle of the park. And I mean, absolutely played out of Celtic's hands. No wonder Rodgers complimentary. Having watched teams like Motherwell, St Johnstone, and these kind of teams like frustrate Celtic at Celtic Park with this kind of, like you say, sitting deep, low block, whatever you call it. To do that and try and pass it from the back and get caught time and time again was just completely mind blowing, really. Mikey Johnson, yes. We talked Mikey Johnson. I think it's that bad. I thought he was working pretty hard. This can go two ways with Mikey Johnson, because he's getting a bit of a baton from his manager. And you think you go right, well, you need me right now, your injuries, you're gonna need me to play the next few weeks. And you go in the huff and say, well, I'm getting battered by the manager, I'm a wee bit of a huff. Or you can take it as a backhanded compliment. Rodgers sees something in Mikey Johnson. I think you can see he's a player in there. He just needs to get it out, right, or break it out somehow. And I think he is being critical on him to try and get that player out of him. I think he's got to take it as a backhanded compliment that the manager is desperate to get him to see him playing his full potential. I think that's the way you got to see it. He's not just battering him for the sake of battering him. I think he does think there's a player in there. But we've not really quite seen it play its maximum yet. So I think that's maybe why he's doing it. It must be because the Eds are going to rely on Mikey Johnson the next few weeks, because Celtic are short in that area. Yang, I don't know if we'll see him again anytime soon.
He was completely left out last night, not on the bench.
Yes, I mean, he's a young lad and there's development to be done, so you never know. But at this point in time, he's not ready. He's not good enough. Simple as that. Marco Tellio come back from injury, nowhere near it. He's been fit for a few months. He's got a few wee bits and bobs. Not enough. Haven't seen enough to suggest he's ready for a start either. So they're left with Palmer, Johnson, and James Forrest really in the wide areas. So Johnson is going to be needed the next few weeks. So he can't go in the huff and think, oh, the boss is going to inform me and all that stuff, or I'm getting a hard time and it's unjustified or whatever. He can't. He's got to use it as motivation, think, oh, right, as a backhanded compliment, he sees something in there that he's desperate to get out. So bring it out, bring it to the party. I mean, a wee bit of sympathy for him, he's not played an awful lot of it. That was his first start the other night, it was since February 2022. So it's been a long time since he started a game for Celtic as well. So he's maybe going to run out of legs, maybe going to get a bit faded a wee bit, is what happened. So I would maybe cut him a bit of slack. And there's a lot of pressure on him. A lot of people are kind of on his shoulders and waiting for him to be the player that we all thought he was going to be at 17 years old. When Scotland and Ireland were fighting over him and all that stuff, we thought he was going to be a major, major star. The next Aidan McGeady or Sean Maloney or that kind of level. It's not quite happened. But he's getting a bit of criticism from his manager, but he should use that as a compliment and a motivation.
He's 24 now, Mikey Johnson. I think I'm right in saying he's in the last year of his deal. Would you A, give him a new deal if you're Celtic, and if you're him, would you take it?
I think Mick's got it. It's like the David Turnbull argument about deals and all that. David Turnbull's ready to move on for Celtic, right? Let's just say it seems that's the direction that it's heading, right? So it's a different scenario with Mikey Johnson, where these players, if he comes alive now and makes it happen, as Mick's saying, then a new deal would make sense. That would be the logical conclusion, but that's a wee bit off considering. But this bit here, this is it. December's it for Mikey Johnson, because Abada Maeda are on their way back. This is his moment. He's got to play big games this month. He's actually played a decent amount. He's got a weird start. He always starts at Ibrox, doesn't he? Like, over the years, he's had two or three starts at Ibrox, sometimes up front, which is...
Up front of the cup for you.
Exactly, that's it. You've got that in the game at Ibrox, the 1-0 Rodgers' last game at Ibrox as well. So it's just the way it's worked out. That's been a kind of fixture he's been earmarked for, not always in his right position. But this is it. Mick makes a good point there, where like there is motivational reasoning behind what Rodgers is saying. So it needs to happen now, because if it doesn't, then he'll quickly become fourth, fifth choice winger again, and that probably will be the end.
We can see the path for guys like, I mean, Mikey Johnson, I think David Turnbull as well. We can see the path now in front of these guys. And they're the only ones that can change these paths. The path at the moment for David Turnbull is probably a move down to England next summer. If he's a success, then fair enough. If it isn't, it's a loan deal back at Aberdeen or something like that, where he could be a superstar probably. Mikey Johnson at the moment could be playing against Celtic for Hibs next season. Maybe coming off the bench for Hibs next season. These are the paths that are laid out in front of these guys. It's now, and it's up to them to alter that path if they want to remain at Celtic or even get better moves in the summer beyond or in January. These are the times when you do it, isn't it? Because at the moment, that's the trajectory they're on. And it's up to them to change that if they want to change it. This should be a big chance for Mikey Johnson, because he's going to get used the next 8, 6, 7 weeks. It's all hands to the pump for Celtic. They don't have the bodies. They've got a lot of games. This should be what he's been waiting for. So it's up to him to go and grab it.
Especially with the Asia Cup as well coming up too, which I know Celtic will probably lose Owen and Kyogo. All started last night as well, obviously. Kind of grabbed his chance. A couple of goals again. If Kyogo was to get injured, say Graham, is Owen the man to fill his boots?
See, this is where I probably the biggest disagreement with. I like him. I've liked him since day one. Like, he just is what he is. He's young and he's learning. But he's not Kyogo in his movement, but his movement's a strength. Like, he makes good runs. He's always going across the front. I think a couple of goals last season, but the low crosses, Ange loved wingers putting in low balls. He was there to tap it in. But he's just good at it, and he is young. And I think with Yang's struggles, Kwon struggling, I think the idea of the South Korean market, but O was also at this point not playing as much. But I think what he's shown in his first year in Scotland, pretty good. Like, he's not a perfect player. I still think there's a panic about him knowing that he's getting a start. He's trying to do a lot quickly and he's turning and he doesn't always make the right call. But I thought his wee passer for us on Sunday, plus the goals he got a couple of weeks ago into last night. And I know he's nicked one off Carter Vickers, but that's what strikers do. It's a brilliant goal for a striker. And then his second one was I don't know what Will Fish was doing. That was, we put it as old battered fish, and then he comes round and easy. Just, but his finish is good. He's always got to score that, and I think that's a hallmark of a decent striker. That maybe I'm wrong, but I think Celtic are crying out for a Scott Sinclair-esque winger who brings 15 goals as much as they're a striker. They play one up top, always prove capable. Kyogo's your man, even if he's going for a wee lull. That's just life. Every striker does. That's not any drama there. But I don't think a third striker, out-and-out striker, is what they really need. I think another versatile guy who could play across the front three would be more valuable. But I think all start on Sunday as well. I think you need to go with the momentum. I don't think it's any slight in Kyogo. I know people go two games without starting, but to me, a guy scores two goals, it just feels it's probably just 51-49 in favour of Oates starting Sunday. I think with Awata, I would be in a similar boat as well. But I like him, always have, and I reject any people that don't. I think he's a good player. I really do.
He starts pretty good, really, for a guy who's only started five games for Celtic in his time at the club. I mean, I think it's 12 goals from five starts. And this season, he scored five goals this season, hasn't he? He's played less than 400 minutes. So what's that, a goal every 80 minutes?
Aye.
It's not bad. Really? I mean, there's an argument you could put a wheelie bin up front by Celtic and score 15 goals a season. But many have been in that position and not did that. So maybe not. But yeah, I think he's got a bit about him. He's only 22. He's a different dimension than Kyogo. A bit more physical. Celtic were a threat last night at corner kicks, which is not always the case. This is the goal. Open goal came from a corner kick, and he's in the 6 yard box, causing a nuisance in there. I think he's got a bit about him. As to turn of Sunday, it might be a game that would kind of suit. Kind of, oh really? I mean, you know what you're up against. You're up against three big centre halves. We know the pitch issues and all that stuff. A tricky one. Kyogo's played a lot of football. I mean, Kyogo starts most weeks, and you think he would be back in pretty sharpish. But you know, if you score two goals, you kind of feel entitled to think you're going to get a game the next week.
I think this is a moment in it for all, because I get that, of course, Kyogo should. But if you don't start all now, when there's got to be that moment for him, I think he deserves that as well. So he can't always be asked to be this, I'll come on and give the guy, I think, just football 101 confidence. Let him start, see what happens. I just feel that I think there's more to be gained by starting Nolan Kyogo for that reason. When the form Kyogo's been in, it's not been terrible, but it's not been his top level. And I think what Mick alluded to there about, there'll be a physicality about this game that maybe lends himself to as well. I just think there's more to gain for starting on this game.
But if you're Brendan Rodgers, and he's talked about injecting quality in the January transfer window, do you look at O and say, no, do you know what? I've got the quality here that I need. Or do you still go out and try and get another forward option? Putting you in the spot there, sorry. I know, but...
Listen, it's a difficult one, because if you're going to go and buy someone, do you go and spend £4 or 5 million on a guy who's not going to be the first choice, because Kyogo is going to be the first choice? Or do you... So what the market need to look at, I think, in the short term, maybe quite an experienced guy who might be quite happy to sit on and be used kind of more sparingly as a kind of backup or occasional starter. But these aging goal scorers, where are they? Where are you going to get a 31-year-old butcher who can get you goals and all that stuff? They don't tend to find them. I mean, you look at somebody like Giakoumakis, a guy, 28 years old at Celtic for £2 million, who's ideal, played every now and again, scored a barrel of the goals, but he wanted to play every week. And he started to get a bit nippy and not play every week. And Kyogo's the main man. He's going to be the guy that's going to be up top most weeks. So it's a tricky one. You're not going to go spend £4 million on a guy that's not going to game every week. And you think O's going to be the one that's, he's the kind of prospect centre forward, isn't he? He's the guy that eventually will kind of develop into a main man, you think. So where do they go? I know there's talk about Majorski at Aberdeen, but they're another £4 or 5 million player who's not guaranteed a game. Listen, he would do a job or something. I think he would do. He'd probably score goals. But he might get fed up not playing every week after a while, or come off the bench every week.
admittedly, I haven't, you know, watched Miovski that closely, but is he really a step up from O? Do you think?
I like Miovski. I think he's a good player. I think the part that over the years, right, there's this Celtic and Rangers fans by nature resist players for their SPA. They're not sexy enough players, right? And it's they want players for other destinations, right? But the thing Miovski's good at, I think, is the hold-up play at times when he's on it. His hold-up play is excellent. And then you also bring in the goals. He's good at coming short, spinning round. He's just really intelligent. The type of player that if a Scottish team came up in Europe and he scored two against, you'd go, he's a player. So he would fit that criteria if he did it abroad, but because you see him every week with Aberdeen. And look at the Aberdeen team he's played for. The results, he's been there. I know the bright finish last season, but for the most part, they've lost a lot of games. It feels like Miovski's been... If he hadn't been there, what kind of state he'd be in? Because he's been a real proper player, isn't he? Like, he does everything well, and he fits that kind of the old criteria, like Scott McDonald, Lee Griffiths. Lee Griffiths came for Wolves, but tried and tested Premiership strikers of real merit. And I think Miovski would by far away make that. But then you go to the point, if the argument's O's not quite that level of Kyogo, then where do you go? How do you balance those three then? Do you try and go two up top? That's not really been the way for any manager, Rodgers, and for a long time. So it's a really hard one to balance, isn't it? It's how you get it right. But Miovski, on his own merit, is a player of substance. I think he's been one of the better players in Scottish football since he's been here.
But as you say, Mick, Aberdeen would want, what, at least £4 million, probably?
He's only 24, 25, isn't he? He's not an older striker, so he wouldn't be cheap.
He's got 3 years in his deal as well.
It's a lot of money. I wouldn't even ignore the kind of everyone being snobbish about the Scottish game and all that stuff, because Celtic and Rangers have historically always took players from teams in Scotland who have scored loads of goals. I mean, you're talking about Lee Griffiths, or he went via Wolves, but a Scottish centre-forward. Yeah, Anthony Stokes scored a lot of goals for Celtic as well. The decent partnerships up front. You go back to Scott McDonald. And all the way back through time, they've always went and got me. Look back, Andy Walker, McAvaney, Tommy Coyne. I mean, these guys, there's always been guys that will come in and score goals and you pick them up from teams in Scotland. So I wouldn't have that kind of snobbery. There's always ones that don't work out either. I mean, your Derek Reardon was one, isn't it? Didn't quite work out. Wouldn't it be? The only thing I see is that the cost. I mean, Celtic don't tend to kind of waste money on individual players, and they'll waste a bit of money on a lot of players, right enough. We saw in the summer, but not an individual. So £4.5 million maybe would be a lot of money to spend on a guy. But it just depends on where he slots into it. See, what you're doing is you're bumping O down the pecking order, who's meant to be the big prospect, and then you're sitting second fiddle to Kyogo. So it's an awkward one to kind of have, really. But I think they do need something. They do need something. But that's where the recruitment department has to get their thinking caps on and dig out another kind of Jackie Marcus type, a guy who's not that expensive. Maybe he's not earning that much somewhere else and be quite happy to come and get a big bump in wages and bide his time, because you will get game time eventually. But that's the kind of market they're in. They need to unearth something like that, I think.
The one kind of black spot on the Hibs victory was Cameron Carter-Vickers, Graham, was taken off at half-time. Brendan Rodgers gave a sort of stock answer about how he is, his fitness, but it's not great either way, is it, really, that he's having to go off?
No, I think I made the point that he'd, the Aberdeen game, we ended up out 6 weeks. He was a wee bit firmer as well. He was, I think, looking back, but the answer last night was very precautionary. But I think there's obvious caution with Celtic fans that the last time there was kind of hope he wouldn't be out for long, he was. But he's just a game changer, isn't he? He's a defender in Scottish football, the best, like, over the last couple of years. Just does everything well. He was really good last night as well. Like, that's not that he's not normally, but he was right on it, really aggressive in the press. You can obviously see what he brings to the team, and he was a danger in the box. But that just changes everything, because Nat Phillips, who seems to, you can see what he brings, like, in terms of physicality, but doesn't really seems a bit of an ill fit to what Celtic do. There's a lot of open space. He's in, similar, let's be honest, similar to Shane Duffy, isn't it? He's in open space a lot. He's asked to pass the ball a lot. both aren't his kind of strong suits. But Eli Yuan last night, I noticed at the goal, Iwata was racing back and he's like, go, show him inside, and he doesn't. He lets him go outside, he's too quick, over 2 yards, ball across and a goal. He's far fit. I thought he's been good at times, Phillips, when he's been asked to come on and defend. But in that role that Celtic have with Narocci and Lagan Bielke not in the squad, I think, to be fair to Narocci, I think his time will come again, because I was quite impressed with just comfortable in the ball. I think he's got obviously a bit to go yet, but just the style of Celtic defender, if Carter Vickers is out, Carter Vickers is the dream, because he's uber physical and he can pass the ball, do what he's asked to. Total modern defender. But Phillips and Scales just feels a bit one pace. And Scales, to be honest, last night, a couple of straight balls over, get caught out. And that is, there's a team coming before New Year and Rangers who will, that is going to be their MO. And without Carter Vickers, but a lot of direct passes, I think that could. But then, conversely, Phillips might, the Celtic are pinned in at any point, Phillips might become a good option. But I think if Carter Vickers is out in the coming weeks, Celtic, really, that might be the biggest conundrum to solve, because whether they bring Lagan Bielke and Narocci in, decide on Phillips, and then look at what Scales does with a new partner, I think there could be questions to answer.
He's loaned up in January, Mick, Nat Phillips. You wouldn't really expect him to stay on longer, would you?
No.
Okay, great.
No. Celtic with 7 centre-halves. They don't need that. I mean, he came in at a time when they were struggling for centre-halves. They'd see them on the treatment table. Strange. I actually think I don't think you'll see Carter Vickers this weekend at Kilmarnock, purely because of the pitch. It's not worth the risk. Celtic fans will be writing Santa, praying and begging that he's available through the winter period, because it doesn't bear thinking about him being injured for a longer period again. This game, I actually think this weekend would probably suit Phillips at Kilmarnock. We're dealing with a lot of kind of set pieces, balls into the box, long balls to Vassell. I think this is a game that would probably suit Nat Phillips, actually. Is that kind of championship style, kind of centre-half, who's more comfortable dealing with the aerial threat and all that stuff than the kind of nippy kind of wide men and forward men. I think this weekend would suit him just fine. I think he'd probably play last night for 45 minutes with a view to the weekend. I don't think that's a problem, but it would be a major, major problem if Carter Vickers is out for a prolonged period of time. So it's, it's the letters to Santa. Should we get fired in right away?
I think that'll be a tricky one at the weekend. That'll be a tough game. But guys, I think that more or less brings us to the end of today's Record Celtic podcast. We will be back next week when we'll no doubt be talking about the result from Rugby Park. But until then, thanks very much for listening. Cheers.